I'm here with Mental Health Chats, and I'm really, really excited because I've got Jennifer Roblin with us. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, Claire. Nice to be here with you.
Well, it's so lovely to have you here because I know I've been trying to get you onto Mental Health Chats for quite some time. And Jennifer's going to talk about burnout and actually how to prevent burnout, especially for managers, because burnout can be really, really tricky for managers. So let's find out a bit about you, Jennifer. Who is Jennifer Roblin?
I am a mum,
an
entrepreneur, and a very keen cyclist.
Keen cyclist? Well done. Do you go cross-country or speed racing?
I do both. More endurance cycling, so it's 100-mile trips.
Wow.
It's a great way to have a social life with people, and it's great for my mental health as well.
Fantastic.
So it's reflection time.
Brilliant. Love it. Love it. That's brilliant. So let's go into the mental health side of things and what you actually do, because it's really, really interesting what you do. So tell us all about it.
And well, I started 30 years in the corporate world. So I was in investment banking for 30 years and I was a senior manager there. So from my perspective, that's where I learned an awful lot of how to help the staff, because my teams, you worked out that everyone's challenges came down to anxiety. So it was the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of judgment, imposter syndrome. There were so many different areas, and they all led to anxiety. So when I quit the corporate world after 30 years, I looked back over my own life. I didn't know what to do next. And when I sort of put the pieces together, I was lucky enough to be able to take some time out and really decide what it was I wanted to do. I didn't want to just fall back into another job. And I was able to look back on my own anxious upbringing and my childhood, my 20s, even into my 30s, and how anxious I was then. And it just became so obvious to specialize in being an anxiety management coach.
Wow.
So I was able to take the experience from my corporate world and coaching and training all my teams, plus my own experience, and now that of all my clients. So it's been an interesting journey.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's really, really good that you can actually connect with people because you understand where they're coming from, which is great. Absolutely great. So we're talking about managers here, and you've been in the corporate world, so you really understand the corporate world, and you deal with people with anxiety. And what can happen is stress and anxiety can lead to burnout.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what we do need to do is really, really be careful, especially as managers, because we're being pulled from above. We're also being pulled from below. Very tricky role. It's really, really important to spot those signs before we spiral down and really burn out. So would you like to sort of elaborate on how managers can spot the signs in themselves?
I think the first step is, how well do you know yourself? Mm. Because you need to be able to know yourself to notice when there's changes coming in. Mm. And you start noticing little changes in behaviour, and they're so subtle to start with that they're easy to just slip under the carpet and power on through. So recognising who you are and what your triggers are is absolutely key in understanding how you can prevent burnout. But you start to notice things that you maybe are losing a little bit of sympathy or empathy with your team. You might be dropping your own boundaries. Mm-hmm. You might have a little less patience with people. Mm-hmm. All these different things are just small little shifts, but when you add them all together, they make a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
So it's just catching those little steps. Maybe you're finding that you can't focus so much, you can't concentrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Things that you could cope with before, you can't cope so well with. And in the world that we live in, deadlines get tighter, budgets get cut, and resources get taken away and replaced somewhere else. So there's some things that are inside of our control and some things that we have to deal with that are outside of our control. So it's how we manage those. And having a strong set of boundaries is one of the best ways that we can do this. Know our own limits.
Oh, Definitely. Boundaries for ourselves, as well as boundaries for our team and boundaries for our own manager. So that's one really good way of dealing with it. What I think would be really, really good is if managers have spotted the signs that they're probably on that spiral down and burning out, what could they do for preventative measures so they don't spiral all the way down or catch themselves before they get to burnout?
There's several things. One of the lessons that I learned very early on in the 90s, I was actually living in Sweden there, working for a Swedish bank. And because of the lack of daylight in the winter, every Swede makes a point of going out for a walk in daylight hours. And I didn't have time to do this, or so I thought. But you soon become aware that it's essential to just get out of the office environment and take a walk. Mm. So I used to have the majority of my meetings would be walking meetings.
Yes.
So you'd go outside, and especially if you were having conversations that were a little bit challenging. And I was the head of the program of change. So my priorities would not be somebody else's. Now, that doesn't mean that either of us were right or wrong. We just had different priorities. Yeah. And sometimes those conversations could get a bit heated because we were also after the same resources. But if you have a conversation walking side by side with someone, there's no direct eye contact and you don't feel challenged. So you can have a really, really insightful conversation. It doesn't need to take as much time as it would do if we were sitting down in a meeting room. We're getting a bit of endorphin rush from the exercise and we're out in nature. And that was a great way. And I kept that going through my entire career. And when I started my anxiety coaching, I started initially doing walk and talks.
It's such
a key way of being able to incorporate, you know, exercise, nature, good conversations, connections, all the things that we need that help us feel stronger and, you know, happier with life. So that was one of the main things that I learned.
So that's number one. Have we got any more?
That's number one. But that was a real game changer for me.
And it's actually been proven by research that walking
absolutely
is one of the most powerful things, not just for our mental health, for our physical health, obviously, but also for our brain power. It's been proven that it can be a preventative measure for dementia.
Totally agree. And you know, that it's all these things that we've known for years, but now science backs it up. So it's great that we've got both angles for there.
Yeah.
Another thing, it comes back to what we just talked about, setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Know your own boundaries and stick to them. Mm-hmm. And I worked with someone recently and I got an email at 10 o'clock at night. And I must confess that I do answer emails at that time, as well as we know we shouldn't. But there was a line on the bottom of this email that stopped me from replying there and then. And it just said, for your awareness, my hours aren't normal office hours. We have a flexible working style and we can work the hours that suit us. Therefore, please don't feel obligated to respond to this email until it's your time.
I just
loved that because it's acknowledging that they're working on their own flexible times. It's obviously a company that's very understanding to allow this, and it doesn't put pressure on anyone else to respond to it. So I really, really thought that was a lovely way of different companies and cultures to operate, because it allows people to work their times. You know, if you've got young children, it's fine to work when they've gone to bed. If you've spent all afternoon playing with them since they've come home from school and feeding them and, you know, spending that quality time.
Yeah,
then, definitely. You know, if you are working at 10 o'clock and that suits you, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If you're working at 10 o'clock and haven't had that break in between, that's a different thing.
It is. And I do think that going through the pandemic has allowed us to realise that flexible time is okay. It's acceptable. Yeah. Whereas before we were so rigid, 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the positives, definitely.
Totally. And again, that was another thing I learned from living in Sweden. And I moved there from New York, and New York has a very different culture. So it was like polar opposites. And I inherited a team when I got there, and they had work share. And again, this is the 90s. So I had certain, you know, people that were job sharing, and I couldn't for the life of me understand how that would work. And then when I turned up in that environment, I was, oh my goodness, it's so successful.
Yeah.
People are so productive when you're giving them the flexibility to do what it is that they need to do. They're so much more loyal.
Right.
It just works so well. So it's having that culture where people feel that they're allowed to take control of their time and work that's most effective for them. And yeah, as a company, we got more out of them.
Yes.
So it was win-win. It was win-win all around.
Definitely. So that's boundaries. And I love the fact that you said decide on your own personal boundaries, because so often what we do is we talk about boundaries with our team or with our own manager, which are very important, but having our own personal boundaries as well is key. And I'm going to push you. Have you got a third thing of interest?
My third thing would be schedule time in your diary for self-care.
Yeah.
Just as if it was a meeting. So yeah. I know from experience, if I haven't got time to meditate, that's when I need it most.
Mm.
If I haven't got time to jump on my bike, that's when I need it most.
Yeah.
So now I have to schedule some time slots in my calendar, because if they're not scheduled in, they don't happen.
They don't happen. And that I schedule time in my calendar. And it is so essential, because so many of us think the self-care is being lazy, or it's just a fad or something like that. That's a myth.
Yeah,
to schedule it, especially when we're busy managers, for sure.
Exactly. So yeah, find out what it is that you love doing, even if it's just to step away from your screen 10 minutes, you know, just connect with someone. Yeah, just put time in your diary so that that doesn't get forgotten, because that's always the first area that is given up.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the first thing that should not be given up. Definitely.
Yeah.
Should be our priority.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been amazing, Jennifer. Thank you for your wise words. It's been absolutely great having you on the show.
So, can I throw in one bonus one?
Oh, go for it. I love a bonus one.
Limit meetings to no more than 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so easy to just have all your meetings for an hour and people will fill them up. There's always someone that likes to talk. So if it's not necessary, cut the time out. And by setting a boundary of 45 minutes, you encourage your entire teams to do the same, to set a boundary for 45 minutes. And the amount of time that gives you back as a team in the work environment is immense.
I actually limit mine to 30 minutes.
Even better.
Better. And the reason is, I did hear some research that the average meeting is actually 90 minutes.
They overrun.
Horrendous. And so much of it is a waste of time. So thank you for the bonus one. The bonus one was brilliant. And I think a lot of people out there would love to get in contact with you, Jennifer. So where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, Jennifer Roblin. And you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. And it's BYL, which stands for Better Your Life, which is the name of my business, Anxiety, and then Management MGMT. So that's the same on both Facebook and Instagram.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for your wise words in helping
managers. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, and it's been great to just be able to help managers so that we don't burn out, because, you know, management roles are very, very difficult and we need to look after ourselves. So thank you.
Absolutely.
And
thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed the chat. If you found any of the tips useful, follow Mental Health Chats. Thank you.